I'd ask you to turn in your Bibles this morning to Ezekiel chapter 33. Ezekiel chapter 33, we'll begin in verse 30 and read through the end of the chapter right after we read our catechism lesson for the day. That is in the bulletin. We've been going through the Westminster shorter catechism, and we are up to that section which is dealing with the means of grace, which are preaching, sacraments, and prayer. After that comes the subject of the catechism about prayer. Catechism is simply a tried and true method, pedagogical method, a teaching method of questions and answers. And it's quite biblical. As a matter of fact, it's something that we read about in the New Testament. And if you read the Gospels, you see that Jesus was repeatedly asking questions of his hearers as a means of teaching. So last Lord's Day, we looked at preaching as the primary means of grace in the church and its importance for the Christian spiritual vitality. And I gave you notice at that time that we would park here for a while, particularly on this question. And why don't we do that together? I'll read the question and if you would recite the answer. How is the word to be read and heard in order to become effective for salvation? So we're going to stay here for a few weeks, at least, to deal with profitable preaching. That is, how can preaching become profitable to you, beneficial to you? And we'll follow the outline of the catechism in three stages. That is, in preparing to hear God speak, in actual hearing God speak during the hearing of God speaking in a sermon, and afterwards, follow-up as well. So today we want to look at proper preparation for profitable preaching. And we'll do that reading Ezekiel chapter 33, beginning at verse 30. This is the word of God. As for you, son of man, your people who talk together about you by the walls and at the doors of the houses say to one another, each to his brother, come and hear what the word is that comes from the Lord. And they come to you as people come, and they sit before you as my people, and they hear what you say, but they will not do it. For with lustful talk in their mouths they act, their heart is set on their gain. And behold, you are to them like one who sings lustful songs with a beautiful voice and plays well on an instrument, for they hear what you say, but they will not do it. When this comes, and come it will, then they will know that a prophet has been among them. Two main points to the sermon this morning. First of all, the necessity of profitable preaching, and secondly, the nature of profitable preaching. If you were to listen to two sermons per Sunday, and I'm speaking to those who are here at our first service with the understanding that you will ordinarily hear two sermons per Sunday, you would hear 104 sermons per year in 52 weeks. And, of course, that's in addition to whatever you might hear preached on the radio or podcast or other things during the week. So at least 104 per year. Over the course of a lifetime, 50 or 60 years, you would have heard 6,000 to 12,000 sermons. 6,000 to 12,000 sermons. Now, that much hearing of God's Word should have a profound effect on your personal, on our corporate, and even on our national life. And yet for so many, there is so little change in people's lives. Which highlights the necessity of profitable preaching, the necessity for cultivating a profitable hearing of God's word, of sermons, to cultivate something that you need to work on, something you need to learn, something that needs to be perfected. And notice that this is something that is active as you sit and as you listen. You are not purely passive. You are to be active in that. And that requires participation, it requires effort, and it requires action on your part. So the necessity, look at our text. If you look at verse 31, and they come to you as people come, and they sit before you as my people, and they hear what you say, but then in verse 32, they will not do it. They hear, but they don't do it. The first thing to notice is that there is no automatic blessing that comes through the mere hearing of sermons. No automatic blessing that comes through the mere hearing of sermons. Last week we saw that preaching is a means of grace. It's a means of God addressing his people, that Jesus Christ, the risen and reigning Lord Jesus Christ, comes and meets with his people. And when the word is faithfully explained and applied, you are hearing Jesus Christ speak to you. The Second Helvetic Confession, note this is not Murphy's idea. The Second Helvetic Confession, which was a Reformation confession, said that the preaching of the word of God is the word of God, with all appropriate qualification. God's conferring of grace, however, is not automatic. It is not magic, but rather faith is necessary. Look at verse 32. They hear, but they will not do it. Hearing properly, all right, is a matter of the heart. And that's a problem today for many churchgoers. They're religious people. They may attend church, they may warm a bench or sit in a pew, but there's no saving relationship to Jesus Christ. Many are not born again, and all they're hearing is profitless. A second thing, though. The profit or profitable hearing is not automatic, even when the preaching is sound, faithful, orthodox, and truthful. So even when you're in a faithful church, even when you are hearing sermons where the word is being faithfully opened, faithfully explained, faithfully applied, that doesn't automatically mean that it's going to have its intended or desired effect. Look at verse 30. As for you, son of man, your people who talk together about you by the walls and at the doors of the houses say to one another, each to his brother, come and hear what the word is that comes from the Lord. They were coming to hear a prophet of God. They were coming to hear Ezekiel. They acknowledged that it was the mouth of the Lord that was speaking to them. And they said, oh, come, let us hear what God has to say. And yet, it wasn't profitable for them. The people didn't come to heckle Ezekiel or to ridicule him. Look at verse 32. Why did they come? Behold, you are to them like one who sings lustful songs with a beautiful voice and plays well on an instrument. They came for an aesthetic experience, like going to a concert or going to a symphony or going to an art museum. They came to relish and delight in beautiful oratory, in speech that was excellent and highfalutin. But it did not profit them. It did not benefit them. They listened without the intention of having their lives altered by the truth of God's word. They came without the intention of having their sins pointed out and their responsibilities set forth. This is why James, in his first chapter, says we need to be not just hearers of the word, but doers of the word. Because if we are merely hearing, even faithful preaching, it is not enough. It is not sufficient. Look at Luke chapter 8, if you will. Luke chapter 8 in the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke chapter 8. And I'm not going to read this whole section, but verse 4. I trust you're familiar with this. It's the parable of the sower. And you know that the sower went out and scattered his seed on different places. And actually, it's called the parable of the sower, but actually it should be called the parable of the soils. Because the good seed, it was good seed in each case that was sown, but it was the state of the soil that determined the fate of the seed. It was the state of the soil. And so also the state of your heart as the good seed of God's word is preached will determine the outcome. There are many today in good evangelical Bible-believing churches, and yet the hearing of God's word week after week, week in and week out, is unprofitable. There are many in solid Reformed churches, bastions of orthodoxy. There are churches where they have the best preachers in the United States, and yet it's not profitable to them. It's not beneficial to them. Some people have heard enough sermons to transform 1,000 lives 1,000 times over, and yet it isn't beneficial or profitable. And yet there are some who have heard very little, and yet there's amazing transformation. And the difference between those two is the state of the heart. And so the necessity of a profitable preaching of God's word. Well, what are the necessary elements before that? Three things this morning. Three things. First of all, consciously recognize that you're coming to hear the living word of the living God. Consciously recognize you're coming to hear the living word of the living God. We dealt with this in exhaustive detail last week when we showed from the word of God that the preached word of God is the word of God, that Jesus Christ is speaking to his people, and that when we considered the Thessalonian church, the Thessalonians, they said, Paul said of them, I should say, that when they heard the word which came from Paul, they received it not as the word of men, but as it really was the word of God. That is, they recognized that what they heard from Paul, a human being, was not Paul, but was the word of God. And that's what's necessary, first of all, for you to have a profitable preaching of the word of God, is that you consciously recognize that you're coming to hear the living word of the living God. That requires reverence on your part. All right? It requires reverence on your part. You don't have to turn there, but allow me to read you Isaiah 66. Isaiah 66. Verses 1 through 4, if you write that down, you can look at it later and be a good Berean. Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. What is the house that you would build for me? What is the place of my rest? All these things my hand has made, and so all these things came to be, declares the Lord. But this is the one to whom I will look, he who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word. Who is the one commended by God? It is the one who is humble, the one who is contrite as they enter into the presence of God, and one who trembles at his word. I asked this the last time I referred to this some months ago, but when was the last time, either in private devotional reading or in corporate worship, in when hearing good preaching, you trembled at God's word, that God's word struck you like lightning with conviction, or that God's word struck you like a hammer of encouragement and blessing? See, reverence, that you're coming to hear the living word of the living God. You're meeting with Jesus Christ. And parents, please teach your children. Boys and girls, you listening? God, look, see attentive children back there. Very good. Boys and girls, you listen. Maddox, you listening? All right. You didn't come to church this morning. You came to meet God. You came to meet God. And the risen and reigning Lord Jesus Christ is present by his Spirit. And as this word is open, Jesus Christ is speaking to you. I mentioned last week that if that is your attitude, as you prepare to hear a sermon, it will revolutionize your life. Your preparation for worship will be 100% different. If that is your attitude, is that your attitude? Is that your consciousness as you come to worship? And then submission. Remember Eli and Samuel in 1 Samuel? And the word comes, and what's the response? Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. If you want to profit, if you want to benefit from the preaching of God's word, then that is the disposition, the consciousness, and the attitude that you have to have. I want to learn everything that God has to say to me today. I'm meeting with my God. I'm meeting with my Lord. I'm meeting with my Savior. I'm meeting with Him who has loved me with an eternal love. I'm meeting with the One who has loved me so much that He underwent the horrors of hell to purchase me with His own precious blood and has been raised from the dead so that I might be made right with God, that I might come and that I might hear Him direct me in the paths of holiness and the path to heaven. Secondly, a consciousness of your need for the Holy Spirit, a conscious awareness of your need for the Holy Spirit. Look at Psalm 119 with me, if you would. Psalm 119, for you good students of the Bible, you know, we'll look at verse 18. You'll know is all about the Word of God, the law of God, the precepts of God, the teaching of God. As the psalm begins in the very first, second section here, the Gimel section, verse 18, notice what is prayed here. Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. Open my eyes. You see, the problem isn't with the Word. The problem is with your eyes, your spiritual eyes. The problem is not with the preaching, right? Sometimes you hear people say, oh, preaching's dull or the preaching is boring. Well, there's no excuse for making the gospel boring. Let's get that out of the way. That's true. But the problem isn't with that. The problem's with your spiritual eyes. If you're coming to hear what God has to say to you, and if you are aware that you need the Holy Spirit to give you eyes to see, and to give you ears to hear, you see. That's the thing. So you need the Holy Spirit to work in you, to illumine your heart, to illumine your mind, to open your eyes that you see wonderful things in God's law. And then thirdly, so first of all, a conscious recognition that you're coming to hear the living word of the living God, a conscious acknowledgement that you need the Holy Spirit to illumine and enlighten you. And thirdly, a conscious rejection of all hindrances. A conscious rejection of all hindrances. Look with me at James. I referred to James earlier as saying we're to be not mere hearers, but doers. In James 1, verse 21, it's an interesting sequence here, and I'd like you to note it. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Notice the sequence. It's not just receive with meekness the implanted word. There's something necessary first. There are hindrances. There are spiritual impediments. There are spiritual roadblocks and obstacles to your profitably receiving the word. What are they? Put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness. Is there unconfessed, unrepentant sin in your life? Well, in coming to meet with God, if you're recognizing you're coming into the presence of a God who is a consuming fire, a thrice holy God, and that He is going to speak to you, then it's time before that to repent, to put it away, to get rid of all filthiness and rampant wickedness. Look at 1 Peter, same thing. 1 Peter chapter 2. We looked at chapter 1 last time regarding preaching. Verse 23, you've been born again through the living and abiding word of God. And verse 25, this is the gospel that was preached to you. And then chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. So put away all malice. Notice the sequence here. Remember, there were no chapter breaks, right? When Peter's writing a letter, he's not writing a book. Oh, I finished chapter 1, I'm going to start chapter 2, right? No, he's writing a letter. So, if this is the word that was preached to you, what's necessary? Put away all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander. Then, like newborn infants, long for pure spiritual milk, that you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. And of course, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you need to turn from your sin. You need to look to Him. You need to trust in Him. You need to approach Him with reverence, with meekness, with humility, looking to Him to speak to you. If I can give you some practical considerations in this regard, as we conclude this morning, I would say five things for proper preparation in order that preaching would be profitable for you. First of all, sleep. Sleep. You young people who think you can run on 2 hours sleep, and amazingly, I remember when I was young, you often can do that, but you're not at the top of your game. Sleep. If you're to profit, if you're to benefit from hearing Jesus Christ speak to you, you need to get proper sleep. This is not just Murphy speaking. Remember, Jesus more than once told his disciples to stay awake. To stay awake. Alertness is important. If you have been in any position, whether it's as a student in a classroom, or whether it's as an employee on a job, or whether it's as an employer running a business, you know the cost of failing to be alert to what's being said to you. It can cost you a grade if you're a student. It can cost you your job if it's a repeated mistake as an employee. And of course, it can cost you contracts and business and jobs if you're an employer. You need to be alert. You need to hear what people are saying. You need to be able to process it, and you need to be able to act on it. Charles Spurgeon, it's a story told to Charles Spurgeon, who's the Prince of Preachers in the United Kingdom. And they used to have two services, but they would have one in the morning and then they would have one after lunch. Not the best time to hear public speaking. Any of us who have been in a classroom or even in church, after you eat and chemical effect takes place and you just start to fade out, right? Well, anyway, they would have worship, and oftentimes there'd be people in the congregation that'd be schluffing, it's falling asleep. One day Spurgeon got tired of this. Fire! He yelled. Everybody came awake. He said, yes, fire burning in hell for those who sleep while the gospel is being preached. I bet you nobody fell asleep that day. Get your sleep. You know, the person sitting on the other side of the aisle or the person sitting in front of you may not see you fall asleep in church on Sunday. But I see you. And even more importantly, God sees you. You're coming to meet with God. If you're going to meet with the mayor, if you're going to meet with the Queen of England, if you're going to meet with the President, like him or not, you wouldn't fall asleep on him. Second, timeliness. Timeliness. Danny Otero can tell you as a member of the military, thank you for your service, that in the military, they say, if you're early, you're on time. If you're on time, you're late. And if you're late, you're dead. Be early for worship. You're coming to meet God. Be early for worship. Timeliness is important. Why? Well, if you're going to benefit from hearing preaching, if you're going to profit from hearing preaching, from hearing the risen and reigning Lord Jesus Christ to speak to you, and you're hustling, and you're rushing, and you're either on public transportation or in your car, and the kids and one thing or the other, and you're arguing all the way to church, do you really think your heart is properly prepared to come into the presence of the risen and reigning Lord Jesus Christ and to hear him speak to you? No. Stewing listeners are poor listeners. When you're relaxed and you're rested, you're more receptive. So next Sunday, I hope everybody is here at 10 o'clock. Third, eat. Eat. We talked about eating and that causing you to fall asleep, but you need to eat if you're to properly, beneficially hear God's word. Why? Because hungry listeners are poor listeners. Hungry listeners are poor listeners. Breakfast, it is true, is the most important meal of the day. And whether you eat a big breakfast or a small breakfast, make sure you have some protein. And students should know this, is that it improves your ability to listen in the classroom, is to have some protein to start the day. Fourthly, prepare ahead of time. Prepare ahead of time. If we are in the midst of a series like we are, both in our 10:30 and 11:30 services, where you know that we're in the Westminster Shorter Catechism, you can look it up online, even if you don't have a personal copy, see what's coming next. If we are in this particular point in the series, where we're going to be dealing with what benefiting from preaching before, during, and after, then you can consider that. You can, in the 11:30 service, we're going through the 66 books of the Bible. You know that what the next book of the Bible is going to be. Prepare beforehand. Make notes of questions, difficulties, problems, and bring them with you to hear the sermon. When you bring more to a sermon, you will get more out of it. Now, I think I've not heard this comment much, or at least nobody has been bold enough to say it to me, but I know it's very common in the church. I didn't get anything out of that sermon. All right? You see, but the response to that is, what did you bring to it? What did you bring to it? What did you put into that sermon? Did you prepare beforehand? Did you look at the text? Did you study the passage? Did you read the book? Did you prepare to come and hear God speak on that? Did you put an effort into it? Remember what I said at the outset. If you're to properly, beneficially, profitably hear a sermon, then you need to prepare for that. You are an active participant. Though I am speaking and you are listening, this is active listening, I'm encouraging you, all right? In counseling, they have this, right? Active listener. You have to be an active listener. That when you are counseling someone and they're speaking and you're not speaking, you have to be actively listening, engaging in what it is that they're saying. So also, as a person sitting in the pew, you need to be an active listener. All right. And lastly, prayer. Prayer. Prayer can make the difference between a ho-hum sermon and a revival. During the Welsh revival of 1859, a preacher was visiting a friend. I think, Pastor Johnston, the ministers are all preaching a great deal better than they used to. The preacher replied, perhaps the people are hearing a good deal better than they used to. That may be, but I think they ought to preach a good deal better. Why so? Because all the people are praying now for the preachers. And doubtless both men were right, this author says. When God blesses in answer to earnest prayer, preachers preach better and listeners listen better. And the better preachers preach and listeners listen, the more people will pray. And once begun, the process perpetuates itself. So, I encourage you to profitably beneficially hear and heed God's word. And next week, we'll look at how to profit during a sermon. And I hope that you are properly prepared for it. Let's pray.